T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Anthony Castrovince covers MLB for MLB.com, MLB Network, and he's with me on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Anthony, how are you?
Bull, I'm doing well, sir. How are you? How dare you say that spring training games are meaningless? Come on.
Well, I didn't say the games are meaningless. I'm saying the scores are meaningless.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, these are important, valuable innings here for all involved. I don't know if we got Billy Hamilton DHing again today.
Oh.
But I don't think he's DHing today. But when you see Billy Hamilton at DH, you know, yeah, the scores probably don't matter.
Has there ever been a guy? I mean, there are pitchers. I'd rather have Madison Bumgarner as my DH than Billy Hamilton. I mean, that's how bad he hit it. What a shame, though, because of his great athletic ability. But the guy can't hit to save his life.
Well, he's the ultimate, you know, you can't steal first base. He's right. The ultimate example of that, unfortunately. But, yeah, incredible athlete.
Are you down in spring training, Anthony?
I am not. No, I mean, for my purposes, it's just not worth it this year with the access being what it is, or rather what it isn't. So, first time in 17 years that I'm stuck here with you
in
Cleveland instead of in the Florida or Arizona sun. It's a point of it's a sore spot. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I just like watching the games now, just because I like that baseball on the TV, and I love to. It just looks so nice and warm. It makes you remember the warm weather, which seems so distant right now, but. Anyway, the games are underway, and hopefully the season will go on without a hit. I mean, there'll be some hiccups along the way, but let's start with the Indians here, Anthony, because, when they first traded Lindor, not that the trade itself was so bad considering, you know, with the pandemic and they only had 1 year left. I mean, you know, you didn't get good value, but I think they did at that point probably the best they could. At that moment, I was like, they're going to be under 500, and you know, they made, I think, some good moves at the end with Rosario and bringing back Cesar Hernandez. And ultimately, with the good young pitching they have and the good manager they have, I still think they'll finish over 500. But if we are a five-team playoff this year, which as of now we are, I think they're over 500 but not a playoff team. What say you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, it's still on the table for the postseason to be expanded. There's still value that could be brought to both sides by that. So I don't rule that out by any means. But, yeah, if it is the five teams from each league, it's hard to imagine Cleveland being one of those five. A lot would have to go right. You'd have to have a lot of upside that, that we don't yet know truly exists. But I do think they can be feisty. I do. I don't think they're really that much worse off than last year's concoction, to be honest. I mean, they were pretty short last year of being a truly World Series caliber club. So honestly, I think that would have shown itself had it been a full 162 with what they were getting offensively from the outfield last year. So, I think it was kind of more of a step sideways than a step back. I know you give up a couple of huge star players, but This is for this franchise moving forward, they have to be in a transition state and get some young guys some playing time and find out what they have. You know, the outfield's still kind of a mess. Starting pitching, they got some interesting guys, and they have some really interesting kids in the bullpen too. So I do think they can be competitive, but probably short of a playoff team.
You know, Eddie Rosario, obviously, you talk about the outfield. Eddie Rosario is going to play pretty much every day. The other spots are up for grabs. Is you think I mean, who's the leader to be the first baseman, by the way? Are they going to play Josh Naylor at first base? I mean, center field, right field, and first base right now, you could throw a dart at a dartboard to guess who's going to be the player.
You could. I mean, Naylor's probably going to play every day. It's just a matter of where. And that could be first base. It wouldn't surprise me if Jake Bowers is the first option there just because he's out of options. And we know how that usually goes before they expose him to waivers. But, you know, Bobby Bradley's in contention there as well. But, those are probably the three names most likely that you would see from the outset at first base. But, Naylor is really interesting to me, just being not that he's, you know, the player in that Mike Clevenger deal, but he was the major league ready player. And, you know, you saw a glimpse of what he could do, I guess, in the playoffs last year.
Right.
So I do expect him to be an everyday guy. I'm just at this moment, it's hard to be sure where that's going to be.
You know, Anthony, and we're talking with Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, MLB Network. In Major League Baseball now, I think teams are becoming smarter in terms of, hey, I don't have to always save my best reliever for the ninth inning with a 3-run lead and nobody on base. So, I mean, I guess the first inclination would be, well, Karinchak's going to be the closer, that's it. Is there a chance that Francona ends up going with a veteran like Whitgren in the ninth and kind of using Karinchak more like last year, more like the Brewers used Hader before he, you know, ended up eventually being the ninth inning guy? What do you think?
I think that's very possible. And he's shown a lot of faith in Whitgren in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's also shown kind of that progressive mindset in the past, too, with the way he employed Andrew Miller, most notably in the 2016 playoff. Yeah, I don't rule that out at all, Bull. And that's probably, frankly, the best way to go is to, you know, use Karinchak as a high leverage type. Really, the best way to go for a team that's concocted this way is to not have a true closer and just, you know, play the matchups as you see fit. And Emmanuel Class A is another name to mention there as potential closing candidate in the near term. I know he didn't pitch last year. He was suspended last year. But he could still bring them some value from that Corey Kluber deal. You know, a guy throws gas. So, him and Karinchak, that's why I think, like, it's kind of easy – maybe deceptively easy to overlook this team because they, you know, again, they traded one of the biggest stars in the game. And, oh, by the way, one of their best starting pitchers in Carrasco. But they do have some interesting arms in their system that could make this bullpen more interesting than it looks on paper right now. And again, their pitching pipeline in general, and the rotation kind of speaks for itself. So it could be a pretty quality pitching staff when all is said and done. I'll be intrigued to see how the bullpen develops.
Agreed. Anthony, the Indians already have this year one of the highest rated minor league systems, a lot of that on the lower levels. But if they trade Jose Ramirez, they could get a haul. Certainly, if you factor in his ridiculously low salary for the next three seasons and how good a player he is, and again, the team control for 3 years, every contender would want him. Now, they're not going to trade him now, but if the Indians are out of it at the deadline, will they deal him?
I've learned to never rule anything out because that's just the nature of the business, and particularly the business here in Cleveland. I don't lean towards that happening for the very reason you just mentioned. He is affordably under team control, and that is the key, is it is affordable, and this team has basically nothing on the books after this season, so you can very easily stomach the $11 million option for next year, and I think it's 13 the year after that, so I don't see that happening. But, you know, again, I've been surprised before. Things have developed in ways that you don't see coming many times before in this business, particularly here. So but to your point about the farm system, I think you're going to see them rated pretty highly, I think, by the end of the year. Yeah. And the reason I say that is we didn't have a minor league season last year, of course. And that affects these rankings that we're looking at now are, for the most part, the same as they were 1 year ago. Cleveland's added a ton of very young talent in the last 12 months and even beyond that. And I think if you look at their top 30 on our website and MLB Pipeline, I think the total was like 15 or 16 guys who were 21 or younger. So it's a pretty high upside, high ceiling group they've assembled now in that farm system. And if you see some development here in this 2021 season, assuming they do have a normal, quote unquote, normal minor league season, then, I think you could see them rated pretty high when all is said and done.
Let's talk about their best prospect, and that's Nolan Jones. We're so used to, all the pitching, the draft and development they've done in terms of pitching. They haven't done quite as well offensively. This kid looks like the real deal, but he hasn't played at the higher level of the minors that much. Is there a chance, if he kills it the first half of the year, could we see him this summer either at third base or maybe even in the outfield with the Indians this year?
Yeah, I think just as a function of Jose Ramirez being around, the outfield would feel, and that's where the opportunity is in the outfield. So that would seem to be the more likely scenario for him. And yeah, I think it's possible you see him this summer. Again, timetables have been altered so dramatically by what's happened in the last years. For some players, it's accelerated their timetable. For some, it's really slowed it down. But this is a, while this still can be a competitive team and maybe with an expanded playoff format, maybe it's a playoff team. It's still a team clearly in transition. And that is a, he'll be a focal point for me this year. I hope we see him this year. And if we do, it would probably be most likely in the outfield. If you see him at third base, then frankly, it probably means something went wrong with Jose Ramirez. Maybe he got hurt or something. So, I do think that's a name we could see up here this year.
We're talking with Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, and author of the book, A Fan's Guide to Baseball Analytics. Anthony, in this division, obviously the White Sox and Twins look pretty good. The White Sox maybe got there a year before, or at least the year before I expected. I know a lot of people had them there last year. But even the Royals and Tigers, I think, have finally, I don't want to say necessarily turned the corner, but I think both of them won't be as bad this year as they've been the last few. Do you agree with that?
I do. The Royals were one of the more aggressive teams this winter.
Yeah.
It was more on the second tier or third tier level of free agency. But they made an earnest effort to improve. They've really been impressive, to be honest. It's kind of you think about a missed opportunity here in Cleveland with, John Sherman took over there, and he's been very generous in light of paying $1 billion for a sports team right before a global pandemic. And then, they've treated their people well, and they made some moves here this offseason. So, I think the division floor has been raised significantly. And part of that is just the development that has taken place at the big league level in the last year. And the Tigers, they start to bring up those pitching prospects they're excited about, and they start to get their feet wet. It just kind of changes the tone of the division a little bit. It makes it that much more challenging night after night. And I think that makes you better. I think that makes everybody better as that competition level improves. Ultimately, it's still, the Twins and White Sox are the clear forerunners at the division right now. And Tim Anderson thinks the White Sox are the best team in the American League. I don't know about that just yet, but I think they're pretty good. And I think they can certainly, keep the Twins honest. So, I also think that the Royals and Tigers now, they both have solid, not great, but potentially solid rotations, which just makes it that much more difficult night after night when you're playing every team in your division 19 times. And ultimately, I think that serves everybody well.
We were talking before about which team in each league has the most pressure to win. Mm-hmm. And it was unanimous for us that the Yankees had the most pressure in the American League. Do you agree with that, or you think it's somebody else?
No, I think you can kind of generally lean that way anyway, with the Yankees just being in that market. It's not like they went out and made a huge, batch of blockbuster moves this winter to raise that pressure level, but they got to get past the LCS round one of these years. And it's really been, pretty disappointing there for the most part. I know they've probably missed some opportunities to do Yankee-like things, be it signing a Trevor Bauer or other prominent free agents that weren't Gerrit Cole. But it's still a really deep team, and it's built to be a World Series caliber team, and they just haven't gotten there. So, I would kind of generally lean that way most years. I think if you get away from the Yankee conversation, then I don't know. The Twins are interesting to me as a team that Yeah. Always struggles to take the next step in the postseason. So assuming they get there, they might be facing the most pressure just because they never advanced, and it's about time they did.
Over under 86.5 wins for the winner of the NL Central.
Oh man, for the NL Central, 86, you said?
86.5.
Oh man, you got the Pirates there to help beef you up a little bit. I'll go over just because something always happens against your expectation. But I get the sentiment behind the question because it's pretty watered down there. But I think like one team will probably end up running away with it. I think that team will be St. Louis. I'd be surprised if it's not. And there could be more in the offing there at midseason if they go out and get what they need. But I think they have the highest floor of any team in that division. I think they'll probably be the ones to go north of 86.5.
Over under 78.5 wins for the last place team in the NL East.
Okay. I'll go under for that. Same thing.
Okay.
Again, baseball will always defy your expectations. Yes, it's the deepest division in baseball, but it is a challenge. 162 proves a lot. And are the Marlins a fluke? They really – don't get me wrong, I like what they have building there. But, they really took advantage of those seven-inning and doubleheaders last year,
which were created
because of their own outbreak.
Yeah.
So that's what got them in the playoffs, is they just played really well in a bunch of seven-inning doubleheaders. So now the games are nine innings again for the most part. Maybe they'll fall back. But I think somebody will fall out of that mix, out of that NL East mix.
Do you think are the Dodgers and Padres the two best teams in all of baseball on paper?
That's probably, and some of that will just be, I think their win totals will be inflated by what else is going on in that division where you don't really have any other clear contenders in that division. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to, for both those teams, it's probably going to augment their win totals. I think the Braves are kind of getting underrated a little bit despite winning three division titles just because of what's going on elsewhere in the National League. The Mets are very good. About the only thing I feel confident saying right now is probably the best couple teams in baseball are in the National League and not the American League.
Yeah, no doubt. Anthony, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining. Appreciate the time.
All right, Bull. My best to you and your family, man.
Same to you. Anthony Castrovince does a great job covering Major League Baseball.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.